It's always good to be back here in this beautiful church. Ever since I came here, I've been very graciously hosted by your senior pastor, Pastor Lewis. And I bring you greetings from my family, India, to all of you here. I live in the city called Bangalore, in the outskirts of the city of Bangalore, India. I'm not new here, as was rightly spoken by Pastor Scott. It's always good to be here because I've really enjoyed myself ministering the word here from time to time. And I want to thank God for the opportunity once again today. Sometimes fail to express how grateful I am to all of you who have shown me so much of love and concern, the ones that I have met here. And not to forget Brother Jimmy and his wife Sissy and Sister Alice at the back, Sister Gloria, whom I don't see, and many of you here. Of course, Pastor Scott's mother, Sister Mary, and all of you. I am very grateful and thankful to the Lord that this morning, as we listen to the Word of God, that God would minister to us. I remember one time we were having a healing meeting, and that night the Lord really showed up and touched and healed several people. One of them was Sister Alice, who was down here right in the front, and God touched her body and healed her. I thank God for the ministry of healing that the Lord has given me, that I'm able to minister to people and see people healed all over wherever I travel, all kinds of miracles of healings that I'm able to see from day to day happen. And I give glory to Jesus for that gift in me. And I've been in the ministry now for 39 years in full-time Christian ministry. I started in faith with $2 in my pocket, and I'm still surviving by the grace of God. He's still awesome. That quitting a lifestyle of selling flowers in the year 1984 to sharing the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley has been my greatest passion. And never thought I would travel the nations. Maybe, you know, if you have seen me 40 years ago, I would not have thought in my wildest dreams that God would take me to the nations. But because of the call of God and His faithfulness in my life, I am very grateful to the Lord to say, God has done a work in me, and He's still doing a work in me and in each of our lives. And I'm so thankful that His grace is sufficient for us. And my family consists of my wife and three children. Praise God. The Lord has been good to my family. It's been good to give me a family that loves the Lord and has been my support. My wife has been a prayer warrior. She loves to pray for me and support me in the ministry. And every time I have to take a trip to U.S. or any other part of the world, she's happy to release me, and I'm happy to also spend that time, although sometimes for months. And the longest period of time was last time when I came, but this time by July my ministry would be over, and August the 1st I should be getting back on the flight. While I'm here, I'm praying for a great awakening in America, because America needs it. And as you all know, you know what's going on around, it's kind of frightful. But I just pray that this is a time for the church to be equipped and for the church to rise up. Because this is a time for you and I as a church to rise up. Because church is not the building. The building will, after Jesus comes, will be still there. But those of you know that when Jesus comes, we need to be caught up in that moment. When the Lord comes, it says the dead in Christ will rise up. And we who are alive will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So if you believe that, you know, you need to prepare yourself for that. And so these are times when we need to prepare. The church needs to get ready. And I know you all have a good pastor who's in charge. And Every Wednesday, the Bible study, and every Sunday is a good time to start focusing on building up your spiritual life, because that's the reason why we are here. We are here to build up our spiritual lives because we need to be founded on the Word. And everything will be tested by fire. But it says that hay, wood, and stubble will be burnt, but if you're building your foundation on the rock of all ages, Jesus Christ, you will withstand. No matter what the trial is, no matter what the struggle is, you will be able to be purified as fine gold. So the testing of your faith is very important. Our faith should not be in a man, but should be in the Word of God and in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the eternal Spirit of the living God. Should allow the Holy Spirit to operate in your lives, because you know what? We can't live a moment without the Holy Spirit. And I want to say, you got to be plugged in. You got to be plugged in all the time. Some people like to be plugged in on a Sunday morning and then they wait for another Sunday morning to get plugged back. You need to be plugged in 24/7. You need to be plugged into the Holy Spirit, because that's why we come to church, to be plugged in all the time. And so this morning, as we look into the Word of God, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I like to read two verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I'd like to read one more verse, verse 10. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I would like to look to the Lord in prayer for a moment as we share today's message. And so let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, as we come before you this morning, Lord, in this sanctuary, we thank you, O God, for the New Testament Church in Eagleside. We thank you for Pastor Lewis. We thank you for the leadership here under Pastor Scott. And we thank you, O God, for each and everyone here who have come to listen to the Word of God. I pray, O God, this morning as we meditate on your Word, that your Word would come alive. I pray for utterance in my mouth. I pray, O God, that the Word of God would come alive to us, that we would understand what you're speaking to us. Holy Spirit of the living God, we invite you to come afresh into every facet of our lives. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move sovereignly, divinely, touch the sick and the afflicted, Lord. Touch those that need a healing touch from you. But most of all, we pray, O God, that you empower us, that in our weakness, that we will see your strength and your power. We pray, O God, that you will receive all the glory. For we pray this prayer in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. My topic today is, strength is made perfect through weakness. That's my topic today. And I usually never like to speak the same message over and over again. So if you are following me on Facebook or things like that, you never hear me speak the same message over again. I don't like to do that. I like to get a fresh word, a fresh manna for God's people. So today the Lord wants me to share, to build up your faith and to build up your life on the Word of God, and know that the Lord is your strength and He empowers you for the last day battle that is ahead of you. As we read the scripture, it says, "My grace is sufficient for you." The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, the Lord speaks to him when he was going through a difficult time in his life. There was a messenger of Satan that buffeted Apostle Paul so much that he was going through this affliction in his body. It doesn't tell you what exactly the thorn in the flesh was, but it does say that because Paul was exalted, in other words, because God wanted to humble him and keep him humble, because it says in verse 7, lest I be exalted above measure. So the Lord, he sought the Lord three times that it would depart. And the Lord replies in verse 9 to Paul. Verse 9, of course, is what we have mentioned. All these scripture verses is for us to understand which verse it is. But this is what the Lord told him. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes when I stand in the pulpit, I feel so weak. I don't know what to say. But I know one thing, that His grace is sufficient for me. I know one thing, that you and I, to face the days ahead of you, you don't know what's in store for you each day. But His grace is sufficient for you. And it says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. In your weakness, God wants to manifest His strength. If you are having all the giftings in your life, if you're having all the abilities in your life, if you're having all the talents in your life, if you're a good communicator, if you have all the skills, all the knowledge, all the understanding, all everything that you know, but if you don't have His strength, if you don't have His power, if you don't have God's ability working in you, you know, we can have everything we can have, but if we are not depending on the Lord, and if the Lord is not rightfully in control of our lives, there's something missing. And that is that we need to understand that without Him, we can do nothing. We need to be plugged into the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would allow us to know that in our weakness is our strength. It says that my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. How many of you want God's power to rest upon you? And that's what the Bible is telling you, that the kingdom of God is in power. It says that in the scriptures, in 1 Corinthians chapter 20, I'm supposed to read that in the end, but I just wanted to share that right away. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 20 says, the kingdom of God is in power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Amen. God's kingdom is in power. And how do you get that power? You get that power, that word dunamis, it's found in Acts chapter 1, verses 8. Acts chapter 1, verses 8. And I love the scripture so much, because in my own life, growing up as in a Catholic family, and never had so I had so much of stage fright and fear. When I understood Acts 1:8, it says that you shall be my witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the word here, power, comes from the word dunamis, which is how you got the word dynamite. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there is a power that you can receive from on high. So those disciples were frightened after the resurrection. They had gathered in the upper room for 10 days of prayer. Today we want a revival without prayer. Let me tell you, there will be no revival without prayer. People are trying to get a revival without seeking the Lord in prayer. Those Disciples were gathered in the upper room. They spent that quality time seeking the Lord. In that upper room, there was James and Peter and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James and Simon. And of course, there was Judas, the son of James. All of those 12, including Mary and the mother of Jesus, they all waited for the Holy Spirit because Jesus had promised them in John chapter 20 that I have to go, and when I go, I will send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. So tarry in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. So the disciples are waiting for that power. And suddenly, you know, in the book of Acts chapter 2, we read how the power came down. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were filled. Then it says that they appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire, as one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When the Holy Spirit, how do you know the Holy Spirit is working in your life? You will know that when you have the love of God in you. When you will know that when God's love is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 5:5. And I believe it's very, very significant when you become a believer and you receive the power of God in your life, that God's love will operate in you and God's power will operate in your life. And so, the early church experienced that power. You know, there was so much of fear what was going to happen. But the church waited on the Lord. They were empowered with the Holy Spirit. And Peter, who denied the Lord 3 times before Jesus was crucified, was able to testify and preach the gospel to the Jews. And of course, on the day he preached with power. And the Bible says that 3,000 souls were added to the church. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 41 onwards, the first thing that Peter preached was, he preached on repentance. He says in verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent and every one of you be baptized." And then it goes on to say that when they were baptized, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. But I want to take your attention in the early church that they did not have buildings. They met in homes. They gathered in the temple. The temple, of course, the Jewish temple. But generally, the believers, they gathered in homes from house to house. And so in verse 41, it says, they gladly received the word, were baptized, and that very day, 3,000 souls were added to them. Can you imagine one preaching, 3,000 souls were saved and added into the kingdom? Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is the word of God, and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. So, one of the things that you need to know is that you come to church because you need to hear the word, you need to have fellowship, which we love, and then, of course, the breaking of bread, which is the Holy Communion, the table of the Lord, and in prayer. And I go around America, and I feel like somehow in America, the church in America is so complacent that I want to say that every time you partake of that Lord's table, it's something sacred. It's something not just like a ritual that you do in the Roman Catholic Church that I used to do, but every time you commemorate that, you do partake of the Lord's death till he come. So come prepared when you come to church, because it is so important that you understand what you're doing. It's not that we just partake of it somehow. We are commemorating his death. We are declaring what the Lord has done for us. And the other thing is the water baptism. When you take that water baptism, some people just do it like a ritual. But for me, it was a life-changing experience. Your old man is being crucified. Your old man is being dead. And you're coming out in the newness of life. How many of you had that experience when you are putting on the newness of life? It's a brand new life for you. And you know, the old things are gone. And so you must understand that you need to walk in that newness. You need to walk every day renewed. And so you are identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it says here that they had prayers together in verse 42. Apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and their goods, divided them among them all, everyone that had need. Verse 46. So continuing daily. So we need to know that we need to continue daily with the word of God. We need to be plugged in daily to the scriptures. Daily we need to meditate on the word of God and soak in the word of God and let the word of God be a part of not just feeding, but you know, the word of God. The Bible says God's word needs to be stored in our hearts. God's word, we need to feed on the word of God because we live in a time when we need God's word to sustain us. And it says here that they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. So one of the things that is happening today is that God is causing the believers not only to be a light and a salt to others, but you know what? When people see you, they need to see that you carry the aroma of Christ. You carry the sweetness of Christ, the fragrance of Christ. You know, you can actually tell a believer very soon. If I spend a few minutes with a believer, I can tell what kind of a believer he is. Because it's not difficult for you to know what kind of a person he is. Because there's something about a believer. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So it is so important that when you go into Walmart or when you go for your shopping, you know, we have to make the difference in somebody's life. The other day I was in the Walmart in Kingsville and a lady came by and, you know, she was just passing by and she seemed like she was working there. So I wanted to know where I get a certain item. So I asked her and the moment she spoke to me, I simply picked up instantly that she was a believer. And I said, are you a believer? She said, yes. How did I know? She didn't tell me she's a believer. There's something about a believer that you can recognize. It's by the Holy Spirit. And so you need to be so charged up with the Holy Spirit that you know when you see a believer. Amen. You would know it. Yeah. Because you have to reflect Christ's character through you. You have to show the love of Christ through you. If you're having a grumpy face and, you know, you move around, nobody's going to recognize you as a believer. But if you have a smile on your face, if you have the joy of the Lord on you, there's something about the vibes that you carry. Amen. That's the power of God in you. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And the Apostle Paul said, I don't come to you in the demonstration of man's words or human ideologies or philosophies or great sound. In fact, Paul must have had a stammering problem. I don't know. It doesn't say that. But he does say that I'm weak. But he says, but I come to you in the demonstration of power. What does the church need today? The church needs to manifest. That's not the building. It's you and I. We need to show the love of Christ. We need to show the demonstration of power. We need to wake up one another and exhort one another because we are living in the last of the last days. You know how things have changed radically. The time when I came last year and this year, there's a whole lot of difference I can already see. But I'm sensing there's an urgency to preach the gospel. There's an urgency to save souls. There's an urgency to minister the word of God. There is an urgency to take the word of God very seriously. There's an urgency to share the love of Christ to people, because people need to know that Christianity or sharing Christ is not a religion. It's a love relationship with God, that you can share to people the saving grace of God on your life, that you can share to people what Jesus has done for you in a few words. Do not be ashamed about sharing what the Lord did for you. If you got healed, talk to somebody about what the Lord did for you. Tell somebody that the Lord healed you. There's so many times we faced so many situations in our life. We were sick. The Lord healed you. We were delivered from so many situations in our life. And I remember last time when I came here and I went back, I was trying to finish a building project and a house of prayer that I was trying to finish. There was so much of attack to finish it. But I persevered in prayer. It was not easy. I had so many obstacles coming my way. I had so many things that came against me, but I pressed on and I trusted the Lord. And not only did the Lord help me to finish it in the midst of all that I went through, the Lord enabled me by His grace, because you know what? Opposition was heavy. I mean, there were so many oppositions that came my way. But you know what? You can overcome the enemy through prayer. You can overcome no matter what you face, because you have the powerful tool, the powerful, what shall I say? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10, it says, put on the whole armor of God. God equips you for the battle ahead. And so let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10, 11, and 13, three verses that I want to read. Because in these end times, you need to be guarded. You need to be guarded with the word of God. It says here, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The Lord wants us to know that He wants us to be strong in Him and in the power of His might. Then it says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I'm going to verse 13 after that. I know we all speak about verse 12. For we wrestle against flesh and blood. We know that. We know that it's against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And again it says in verse 13, therefore, take on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand in the evil day. How many of you know that we are in that evil day already? And so to stand in this end time, to stand strong, to be faithful to the Lord, to be obedient to the Lord, that's a high task, because it's so easy to slip away from the scriptures and compromise and be complacent, be lethargic, and take it somehow. But the church in America needs to waken up and needs to know that we have very little time, and we have a job to be done, and we need to stand against the evil one and resist all forms of evil. You know the things that are happening in America, and I don't have to tell you. You don't even want to read the news sometimes, because it is so sickening to listen to the news. But we have a good news. We have the gospel, which is the power of God. So let's talk about that good news and let people know that the good news that you have is the hope in Christ alone. And the Bible says, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Do you know what that means? You have to be somewhat forceful if you want to advance the kingdom. People will say, oh, it's okay. I'll take it easy today. Maybe I'll just sit back, relax. I'll probably, you know, see another time to read my Bible or say my prayers. Today I'm too tired, Lord. You know, when you're tired and you can't pray, that's the time God wants us to pray. When you're sleepy and you don't want to wake up, that's the time you need to wake up and say, this is the time I need to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. The Word of God is telling us this morning, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, being girded with the waist, with your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod with the feet, with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking on the shield of faith, whereby you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That means we need to pray for one another. You know, we cannot win the job alone. We need one another. How many of you know we need one another in the body of Christ? We need, hallelujah. That's why the body functions, when we see the need for one another in the body of Christ. And that's why we pray for one another. We take their need as our need. And you know what? When we are sick, we need the pastor to come and help us and encourage us and pray with us. But I've been discussing with a lot of people how difficult the pastor's job is, because he's under target too. He's under a lot of battle too. So y'all need to pray for your pastors. Y'all need to pray for Pastor Lewis. And now Pastor Scott is the associate pastor. You need to lift him up every day, because your prayer support is going to keep them going. Hallelujah. To advance the kingdom, to see souls added, to see Eagle Side reach for the kingdom of God, to see God empower the church with signs and wonders and miracles, that we will go out and we will share the love of Christ. And yesterday I was standing in front of the food bank in Rivera, and I was trying to share the gospel and giving out the gospel of John and Romans and sharing. You know, most people think they have it all. Most people, they just think that they are born in a Christian family and they have it all. No, they need to know the Lord. They need Jesus so badly. But, you know, we just take it for granted that we know it and we are, you know, we are on our way to heaven. No, it's not that easy. The Bible says all those who are in Christ, it says they will suffer persecution. And it says very clearly in the Word of God that if you're godly in Christ, you will face persecution. And I mean, persecution means you can face all kinds of situations. The whole world is changing rapidly. There's so much of religion and so much of junk and so much of the new age and so much of the stuff that's coming in a forceful manner that our children are being corrupted. But we have the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. We have the Word of God that's quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. We have God's Word. Hallelujah. That's the only antidote to the enemy. And we have to resist the enemy. We have to stand against the wiles of the enemy. And I want to take you very quickly to Philippians chapter 3 and verses 10. And you know that one scripture is enough for us to understand the depth of that scripture. If you every last Sunday was Resurrection Sunday. And most churches, the Resurrection Sunday, they remind themselves about the resurrection power. But look at what the Apostle Paul said in this verse here in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The Lord wants you to know that there is power in the blood. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood of Jesus. How many of you ever went and saw that movie that came out recently? It happened to be shown even in Corpus. It says, come out in Jesus' name. And now the church is awakening to the fact that there's a dimension called deliverance. And they showed it more like a documentary to me. It wasn't really so much of a story. But I've been in the ministry of deliverance for over 30 years. Probably even 40 years I've been handling deliverance. The church, we all need deliverance, by the way. Pastors too need deliverance. But what is deliverance? You know, the areas of our life that we are struggling, that we are battling, it can be anger, it can be jealousy, it can be pride, it can be envy, it can be so many things. And or it can be a habit, or it can be something. And so the Bible says that he gives you the power to overcome. He gives you the power to overcome. And so, whatever area of our life that we need help, the Bible has an answer to that. The Word of God will help us. And we thank God for the ministry of His Word. We thank God that His Word equips us. His Word enables us. So Philippians chapter 3 and verses 10, I want you to know that the Apostle Paul is saying that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. How many of you want to know the power of His resurrection? Man, to know the power of His resurrection means that you can do the same things that Jesus did. The power of His resurrection means that nothing is going to hold you back. The power of His resurrection means that the same Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. And if you know that you know that you know that the same Holy Spirit dwells in you, you have that power of God in you. You have the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit in you. And it says to know Him and the power of His resurrection. And it says, and the fellowship of His suffering. That's a little hard. Lord, don't tell me about suffering, Lord. You know, but it's also there. It's attached with the power of His resurrection is the verse that says the fellowship of His suffering. You have to be partakers of Christ. And Christ told us that we will suffer. It's a part of the Christian life that you have to suffer for Christ. And so don't think that what's going on today, if you're standing against the tide and if you know that our school system is so messed up and things are so messed up around, we're standing against, it's not going to be easy. But let me tell you, if you stand for Christ, God gives you the power to stand for His name. And you cannot deny His name. You cannot deny the Lord. You have to take a stand for the Lord. And I urge you to stand strong in the Lord. I urge you, beloved, that you will offer yourself daily to the Lord as a living sacrifice. I urge you that you will say, Lord, I will die daily. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I die daily. Hallelujah. We need to die to our flesh. We need to die to the things that take us backward. We need to advance the kingdom of heaven and press in. Hallelujah. We need to know that we have the power of God to operate in us. And so I urge you, according to Philippians 3:10, that you will know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. Every day we need to be crucified. Every day we need to be done. It's very easy to sing a song, I am crucified with Christ. That's so easy. But are you really crucified with Christ? Are you really dead to the world? That takes time. But every day, kill that habit that's not right. Kill that sin in your life. Kill that thing that blocks you from connecting with God. You know, we want the power. But if you want the power of God, if you want the anointing of God, we must live a holy life, because the Holy Spirit is holy and God gives you the Holy Spirit to empower the church. The church needs to be empowered. Can you imagine if we are all empowered with the Holy Spirit, what we can do today? We can shake the world upside down, just as it happened in the early church. But we are not there yet. But I believe that God is going to raise up a generation. We need to see our young people coming back to our churches. We need to see the youth come back to our churches. We need to see the young people before it's too late. And so that movie, Come Out in Jesus' Name, was a good one. Because what we are seeing, hallelujah, is God is raising up a new generation. Amen. We need to get this generation back on the track. Hallelujah. And you have a role to play. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your grandchildren. Don't give up on those relatives of yours. Don't give up on your family members. The Bible says, Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your household. How many of you know that if you make a list of those names and begin to pray for them, I'm telling you, sooner or later, they will come to know the Lord. 2 days ago, there was a founder of a great movement in India called OM. There was the Operation Mobilization. His name was George Werber. As a young man, he got saved here in America. And I think he recommitted his life in Billy Graham's meeting. And this man, what a work he did. He sold everything that he had, went into Mexico, and along with a few friends, and they had 20,000 tracts or something that they went and distributed in Mexico. And ever since then, George Werber and his team, they founded Operation Mobilization that went all parts of the world. And his ship has sailed through all the ports that you could ever imagine. And the man at the age of 84 was called home on the 14th of April. The Lord called him home after a journey. And, you know, what a great leader. What a leader who led by example. I had an opportunity to meet him when he last came to India. He had such a great burden for India. He was based out of England, which was his home for many, many years. But looking into his story, he was raised up in the U.S., George Werber. And so he has left a legacy behind. You know why? Because he was willing to live for Christ. The Bible says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I want to conclude here this morning. If you're struggling in some area of your life and you're having pain, now we go through physical aches and pains, but I believe Jesus is able to touch you and heal you at the point of your need. Maybe you're going through a broken heart. Maybe you're going through a pain in your heart. Or maybe you're going through a physical pain or suffering. You know, the grace of God is sufficient for you. Let the Holy Spirit of the living God minister to you this morning. And I want to ask you, if you're struggling in some area of your life and you're saying, Lord, I want to advance the kingdom. I want to go where, Lord, you want me to share the love of Christ. If you're available for that, I want to pray for you. Maybe you're called, like I've been called as a missionary. I come to America because I know God has put a special place in my heart to come here and share the gospel. And a lot of people ask me, how do you do that at this age? But, you know, the grace of God is sufficient for me. It's not that I have a lot of strength physically, but I have the power of God in me. And I want to urge you, church. I want to urge you, brothers and sisters, pray for the missionaries who are on the front lines of the battle. America is right now, I believe, like a sinking ship. And we need to pray. If we are not awakened ourselves, if we are not revived ourselves, how can we revive somebody else? So there was a young lady that I prayed for last Wednesday. I didn't know anything about her. She came up for prayer. I laid hands over her and I prophesied over her. And I didn't know she was already a missionary, but I said, you're a missionary, and spoke many other things. And then I meet her with the pastor on Friday morning, and she's already a missionary. And she's already, you know, she's just a young lady on fire for God. Why am I sharing this? God causes that passion within you to rise big and cause you to overflow, that somehow, by all means, we will save some. This moment, I want to ask you, are you hungry for God? Are you thirsty for the things of God? You know, sometimes we get into a whole lot of stuff that is necessary, but it's not the real deal. Let's be like Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus. Martha can be very busy running around, doing a lot of things for the Lord. But Jesus said, Mary sat at the feet of the Lord, and Martha was busy. And you know what the Lord said to Martha. Martha, Martha, you've been so busy, but Mary has chosen the better part. So as I conclude, I know there have been battles in your life. You need the strength. You need the power. Zechariah chapter 4 verses 6 says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to quicken you this morning? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to say, I want to do away with the dampness in my life, with the lethargy in my life, with the slackness in my life, and I want to rise up to be the man or the woman that God wants. I believe that there is a generation that God wants you to reach out to. And if we don't get our young people, can you imagine another 20 years, if the Lord tarries, we have only old people, most of you would be gone. What about the young people? What about the young people of Eagleside? Where are they? And I believe it's a time for us to begin to pray. Shall we stand to our feet and begin to pray? Shall we take a few moments to say, God, save this nation. Save the city. Save Eagleside, Lord. Save this state of Texas, Father. Deliver us, Father God. We want to be the generation that will see great exploits for you. We want to be empowered, Lord, for revival. We want to be empowered, Lord, to see an awakening, Lord. And we want to be the people, oh God, of power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. If you want to lift up your hands and surrender to the Lord, if you want to come up for prayer, you're most welcome. The altars are open. And I know Pastor Scott can also come, and we will lay hands upon you and we'll pray over you and we will empower you, because you are the church. And let me tell you, hallelujah, all it takes is a willing heart. All it takes is a willing heart. A willing heart. Yes, Lord, here I am, send me. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8, here I am, Lord, send me. Prophet Isaiah. And a coal came, a live coal came and cleansed him. And Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. And he was the greatest prophet of all times, the prophet Isaiah. So as I pray with you, I want you to be empowered. Right where you are, lift up your two hands. And if the Holy Spirit is leading you, if the Holy Spirit is guiding you, if the Holy Spirit is empowering you, if the Holy Spirit is strengthening you, if you're not yet filled with the Holy Spirit, hunger for it. Say, Lord, I want it at any cost. Hallelujah. Because one thing I know, that as a timid young man, at the age of 18, when the Lord saved me, I was so hungry for the Holy Spirit. And when He baptized me with the power of God, and when He filled me with the Holy Spirit, and gave me the gift of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is so needed today. And if that's what your need is, you know, hallelujah. It's just that one Kairos moment that you can receive the power and you can be empowered. But don't stop till you get it. Hallelujah. Let the Church of Jesus Christ be empowered today. Let the hungry hearts be filled today. Let us thirst after righteousness. I remember, praise God, hallelujah, stepping out of my home, not knowing what the future holds, but because I put my trust in the Lord. Matthew 6:33 has been my goal. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that you need shall be added. So you know what? Hallelujah. In your weakness is your strength, that the power of God may be manifest. And I didn't even read through once again 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I just want to remind you. I just want to remind you the scripture, that strength and power. God wants to equip the church with strength and power. And you are the church, hallelujah, the ecclesia, the called out ones, strength and power. And so, in conclusion, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. I just want to read that verse to you once again, so that you would know as a church that you are being empowered this morning for equipping the saints, for building up the ministry here. Glory be to God. How many of you know that you have a role in this work, in this end time work? So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm reading once again the verses that I began with. And it just says here, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So in your weakness, can you bring your weaknesses before the Lord? Can you say, Lord, in my weakness, manifest your strength. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I will take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. So, Father God, I pray, O God, that, Lord, in our weakness, Lord, you would empower us, that you would strengthen those, Lord, that are weak, that we will be a helping hand to somebody today. Lord, empower us. God, empower the church. Empower the church of the New Testament. Lord, we pray, O God, that you empower, O God, every member of this church. Thank you, God, for the leadership. Thank you, God, that you are able, O Lord, to help us this morning, that we can go out, Lord. And Father God, we may all not be missionaries. We may all not be preachers. We may all not be able, Lord, to go and do the work of evangelism. But God, we can pray. We can all pray, Lord. And so give us the hunger to pray. Help us to be plugged into the Holy Spirit. That, Lord, that you would say, God, Lord, that we would be able to say, Lord, do it again. Acts chapter 2, Lord, what you did in the day of Pentecost, Lord, do it again. Do it again here, Lord, in Eagleside. Do it again here, Lord, in this very church, Lord. Lord, manifest your glory. Manifest your anointing. Manifest your healing power. Manifest your miraculous power, God. And anybody standing in proxy for someone, let them see their loved one healed and restored, Lord, because there's power in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, we pray in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that you would empower us, that we would go out of this place knowing, Lord, that we had a touch from above, and that we have been filled, Lord, that we can say, let the weak say, I am strong, and let the poor say, I am rich. So, Father, we bless you and we give you thanks. We speak
positively, Lord, that, Lord, our church will not be the same, that this church will be a harvest church, that this church will be a revival church, that this church will never be the same, God. Empower us, Lord, because we need one another to build the kingdom of God in advance. And so, Lord, that we will be a body ready for you when you come. Lord, make us holy as you are holy. Make us pure as you are pure. And Lord, help us not to be satisfied with what we have, but that we would be hungry for more. So Father, I pray for every hungry heart here, that you would fill them, empower them, and use them for your glory. For I say this prayer in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people shall say, Amen. Amen. Amen.